Well, I don't make my work for you to interpret it. I make it for black young people so that they can understand that we are at war, that we have to be strong-minded, that we have to be productive, that we have to be unafraid of expressing ourselves and getting what we want in this society.
But isn't there a danger in telling young people, encouraging them to be militant? Aren't you taking them down a track that can only lead to a cul-de-sac and at the same time alienating a lot of people who really don't understand or accept or even...
Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
Yes, sir. That's tonight, 2251 Florin Road, right there at the Florin Square, inside the Obama Room. Now, you can't get it no better than that. Inside the Obama Room. Hey, it is Wise Words with One Gone Show. My mama said, son, you better not change the name of that. You've been doing that for a while. I'm listening in, and you keep that thing as Wise Words with One Gone. So we come a long way. And mama, you right. Anyway, it is a beautiful day outside. Looking in the forecast, it looks like a little rain coming our way. But you know, when it rains, we need to slow down. That's one thing I just want to say. If it rains, slow down, because you can have an accident when you're trying to drive perfect, right? And so I'm going to the phone line to my co-host, who's got the most, Mr. Marvell. Marvell!
Hey, good morning. Good morning, to you, and good morning to our listeners. Really pleased to be a part of this format. I'm glad your mom dubbed in and gave you the words of wisdom to keep it the same. We were trying to figure out what if we're going to change it to something, but words of wisdom and edifying you as the originator of this project is probably the best thing to do, because to be honest with you, we are people that easily forget and don't edify our leaders and don't remember our icons. So it's a good idea to keep it the way it was.
Yes, sir. Hey, so Marvell, man, last night, you know, we lost a dear friend, Mr. Melvin Jacobs, and we just want to take a moment of silence for the Jacobs family. It's a rough time for them right now. But one thing I know and two things for sure. I said one thing I know and two things for sure. Mr. Melvin has some pain right now. He's not suffering right now. And, you know, he lived to be 94. I thought it was 97. He lived to be 94. And he was a blessing to those that he blessed. And he was blessed by others as he was transcending and transitioning to the next life. And so I just want to ask that everyone that's listening to take a moment of silence. Thank you all. Thank you all. Brother Marvell, man, last night you had a nice a group of kids last night. But before we get to them kids, one of the youth that didn't show up was the one we shut down the show for, to show that when a youth call us, his mama or family member call us, that we move to help the situation, that we move to uplift a situation, or that we move to settle a situation. In what we did yesterday, I don't see that what we aimed to do was really taken upon the family as a serious move, being that the young man didn't come in to the healing circle last night. And the cold thing about it, even though you don't show up, make a call like you made the call to get us out there. What do you say about that?
That's precisely what I was thinking, is that, okay, if you're not going to show, then call. You got a place or a show in this race, right? You got the capability, and you got good legs. You got all you need to place or show. And if you don't do either or, that makes you a loser. You lost. And the loss that they're experiencing is the trust and the willingness for us to stand in the gap the next time. And I don't think they're really getting with that part. It's unfortunate, but a lot of times that's what we need to know. We need to know that whether or not we're moving in the realm of willing people. If you're not, see, because willingness is the most important thing for us to stimulate or to gravitate to. If there's no willingness, then we're spinning our wheels. We're doing something that we want to get done. But if they don't participate, then we're kind of like spinning wheels. So it's unfortunate that they didn't do what they said they were going to do, but at least now we know or have a good idea of how to deal with the situation when it comes up again, because it's likely to.
Oh, yeah, it's likely to pop up today, right? And so remember when I was there, I said, it's like the boy calling Wolf. You know, you're going to call us, and you're not going to show up. And I left that with the mother and the father and the youth, right? I left that, and I didn't hold back any of the conversation. You know, I didn't hold back on any of my wording. I wanted them to know that the words that I was speaking was coming from my heart, and it was the truth as I see it, right? And so I wanted them to know that when our youth is struggling, we need to catch it on the forefront for a prevention. You see your son is acting strange and doing a little something for some change, or he's not, you know, he's spinning in a different spiral, then you need to stop it. You need to stop that so that we can, you know, address that. Don't wait until he didn't went all the way out and then try to get some help, because it's hard to get him back. What do you say, Marvin?
Yeah, when I was working, I come from a background of working with the youth from my home state and my home city, Cleveland, Ohio, and I worked with three agencies. And what I found regular in the experience was that the parents, rather than to glean from a successful model that you've set forth with their children, where you are having a good effect and a good impact on their children, rather than them emulating that, they seem to resent it. And they seem to want to counter what you're doing, and we're not working together. That's why it started getting important for the parents. We have adults in our youth groups, you know, kind of like last night, for instance. One lady came up to us, she said, "You guys are doing an excellent job getting this message to these kids." And so they get a chance to see and not only see, but they have something to duplicate in their effort, and then we'll be on the same page. But a lot of times the parents are not on the same page with the success model, because they don't want to learn from the success model. They don't want to duplicate the success model. They want to contour their method into ours and think it's going to work. And it doesn't. It causes a clash, you know. So the same thing with it yesterday. I kept getting a bulking back from the parents about, and, the, you know, the mother kept dubbing in and interrupting with what she thought it should be. And she called us for our advice, but now we're here, she got advice. So, you know, it's really kind of a challenge for us to make sure that when we have their audience, that the parents recognize and accept that, get humble to that we have the ability to do what we came to do, so let us do it. And then if we give you a advice or even a directive afterwards, follow through on that. You got to keep going with what's working. They see it working, but they don't want to acknowledge it. It seems to me it's very strange.
I agree. And so this is what I've seen in the last, let me see, 10 years. I'm going on 11 years. This is my 10th year. So I started the radio 11 years ago, and I started the Healing Circle right after that. And we started online on this show, right? We felt that we were in a good position to have parents call in onto the show and talk about what's needed in their household to help them with their youth, right? And so that's them shows became popular enough for people, instead of driving all the way from the North area to get to that circle, they would call on here and we'd have a forum. And I think we need to get back to that, because the missing component, not only the male figure in the household, but the parent who's in the household is not parenting to the best ability. A lot of people want to push that up under the rug and say, well, they're doing the best they can, and they always got some other excuse. Let me tell you, being raised by a single mom of three who had two jobs, my mama never neglected us in any type of way, right? She never neglected us. And when she felt that she couldn't handle us, my mama put us in foster care. When it got to a boiling point, and she didn't let us just raise ourselves. She said, she called us all in the room, said, "Mama tired, you know, your daddy gone. I'm working these jobs. Things they're not adding up. Mama wants y'all to have a better life." She talked to us. We cried and scratched and hid and everything else so we could stay at home with her. But she put us in the system, all three of us. And good thing I had a loving grandmama and a loving grandfather that didn't allow us to stay in there. So they didn't know where we was. But when they found out we wasn't with her, my grandfather did a research and found where we was at. And they pulled up in that big Cadillac, got our clothes and us, and put us in the car and took us to the house. Right. And so it is no excuse. It's no excuse on how one raises their child. There's no excuse, because what happens is, if you were to sing lullabies with your kids, if you were to do the ABCs with your kids when they right out the womb, humming to them, singing to them, and carrying on like that, you would get a better product. You know, I'm going to use it like that. You'll get a better product because you put a lot of time into what you have. And so my mama, she wanted to shake and dance. You know, she wanted to shake and dance and hang out and be everywhere. She went to work, but she also wanted to go to the club and hang out. And so when you hang out, you're dropping us off at grandma's house, and you know, you're dropping us off over our godmama house, and just to go shake, that right there has to not be the forefront of, you know, you living. So you, when you have children, you've given up your life to raise these lives, right? And so I could say that and stand on that, because I was raised by a single mama who, you know, liked to party. And so when she couldn't handle it no more and things start backing her up against the wall, she said, I had enough. And so I appreciate her for that, because we could have been like some of these other children that are being raised by a single mom, where your mama let you run outside and do what you want to do. So I appreciate her not letting us go hungry and go without lights and selling food stamps and all that. I'm glad I didn't make that era. I was just before that era. But if a parent would just cling to those that are helping, those that are in position to push the line, then I think that our children would get a better understanding of growing up and principles. So what I'm saying is that the kids that we work with today, I'm bringing it back to today, the kids that we work with today, a lot of parents are not involved in the programming that their kids are getting, right? They're not, you can call them in, they'll come in, they'll sit for a minute, but they're not involved as much as they need to be. Now, we have some parents that are, and we want to give them a hand clap and an applaud for being in their children's life. Everybody's not being there, but the majority are not even going to the schools and checking in with the principal, the counselor, the teacher. Until Johnny or Mary gets in trouble, then they go up there, and the first thing they want to do is, who's this mother? And you know, and go off. But see, if you'd have did a prevention, you wouldn't have to go up there and go off, because you would know that those that are in your youth life and raising them at school and teaching them at school, you would have a better rapport with them. So when they tell you something, you can almost believe that they gave their heart in trying to save your baby before your baby went to wrecking up stuff. Let Marvell speak a little bit, because I get tongue twisted. I got two things I'm doing, and they calling me left and right. Marvell, handle that.
Okay. You know, there are two or three things that I identified in what you just shared. One of them is that if there's an absence of for the parent in the bonding, you talk about singing to the children and interacting with the children and grooming the children to get to know you, your spirit, and get to know you and have appreciation and reverence for you from exiting the womb and forming a bond. The reason why I notice the women have the bond better than the men is because they was having a relationship for 7 to 9 months, right? So they enamored to and have a gravity to the mother naturally. However, once they break to daylight and they're in the atmosphere of growth, then now it seems like the parents have to dole the grooming out to a phone or a computer, or send them to school and anticipate that the system is going to bond for them. And now the bonding has to continue. And the bonding, if that lacks there, then the parent is compared to the teacher. It's like, okay, well, y'all about the same to me, you know, which is, as I don't think it's a natural order. We're supposed to have a more intense bond with our children, and if we don't have that, then we're lending them out to the atmosphere through the technology and through the school system. Teachers spend more time with our children than we do, so we would have to have a strong bond in order for them to not allow that imbalance to kick in. And if they don't respect the teachers, then how are we going to get the respect if we don't have the bond? And then when you said about your mom and you, I was wondering how you felt about it. You have a respect for your mom, because I'm going to tell you something what I saw with your mom. And I think it's important for young people and us as adults to recognize that when the mother or the father is willing to put them not first but equal to their happiness and their lifestyle and contentment, if that becomes jeopardized, they let it be known instead of making these sacrifices and going through and not living a good life, sacrificing their life and their livelihood for the sake of a child, and the child looking at them saying, shoot, I don't want to do that. I see how hard you work, and I see how you doing all that for me, and I ain't even really going to school. I ain't really cleaning my room, and you still doing it for me? I ain't going to do that. Don't expect me to do that. So when we show the sacrifice, it's got to be for a cause and not just because. We have to be able to get them to understand that the investment that we're making, we're expecting a return. And if we don't get a return, then it's not worth investing. And I'm going to enjoy myself. I want you to see that. I'm going to look out for myself. I'm going to have fun. And I'm going to do stuff that makes me feel good. Despite the fact that I'm a parent and I have you as a responsibility, I'll meet that. But I need you guys to step up and recognize that everything that you want, you're responsible for. Everything that you need, I'm responsible for. So that's what I got from that, and I'm glad you said that.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. We have Brother Tanner on the line. Brother Tanner, how are you?
Okay, so far God has been good to me.
Hey, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hey, Marvell, how you doing this morning?
I'm well. Yourself?
Well, God has been good. I can't complain. I cannot complain.
So what I want to
do. Did you hear anything?
Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
So what I want to do, Marvell, is enlighten Brother Joe that the young man didn't come to the circle last night. The parent didn't call us last night. And so that's where we was at right there, Brother Joe. We was at how we stopped what we was doing, went to the rescue of a family who was in dire need, and you could see the mama crying and the daddy standing behind the mama, not in front of the mama. So this is a thing that we see all the time when our men are not strong and they lean on their woman to, or wife or who, whatever that relationship is, lean on them and stand behind them instead of in front of them. These are the situations that we come up with, because what you said yesterday was good, Brother Joe, for the young man, but the examples that he look at, I didn't want to check it at that point. The example of a man is not there. It's not there. It's not there. That's why when he said, well, they don't listen to me because you only come from behind the mama on certain issues, but real issues, you stand behind her, and these kids are not dumb. They understand what they see. And so I'm just saying they didn't make it in, Brother Joe. And, yeah, we're not going to penalize him for it. We just know if you can't make it, then you're supposed to call like you called to get us there. What do you say about that, Brother Joe?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Just to piggytail off of what Brother Marvell was saying when I got on the line, the examples of manhood don't exist as they did when the three of us were coming up, such as that young man. By the time the three of us were 18, there were clear, concise lines of delineation of what a man and a father would be all about. 20, and just move that the needle up, 20 years, and I'll just use that number 20. In the past 20 years, we've gone from manhood to feminization of men, to discredit of men, families, fathers. What we experienced yesterday is a continuation of that type of thinking, of that type of influence. The three of us, and men like us, again, I can't help but say, come from the old school and see there are not that many. And it makes no difference whether we are black, white, Hispanic, or Asian. The major problem is the influence. The dad, as I said yesterday, who was right there in the home, but his strength, if I understand, has been diminished. We don't look at men like we used to look at men. We don't talk to men like we used to talk to men. We don't act as men like we used to act as men. And so the kids obviously see every bit of this. And that's one of the major things that's wrong with the society. Men have been so influenced and so, how can I put it, Marvell used the word bamboozled. I just could call it hoodwinked. Now, there are pockets of men who still have that mantra. We are men, and this is how men are raised. This is how men act. But the majority of the individuals, and I call them males, that wear pants don't have that kind of strength and don't have that kind of knowledge. That's one of the things that we actually see on a daily basis with what we would call manhood. This is not manhood. What we are, the three of us experience, this is not manhood. Manhood is not rigid, but it's not what we have experienced in the last 20 years.
Might I say, now that we, because that's an acknowledgement that we've all concurred about. We talk about it and we scratch our head wondering why it is that the young men, the males, as you qualify them, are okay with this this method of approach, you know, allowing the woman to do and say, be the spokesperson, allowing the woman to be the most responsible member, allowing the woman to be the one that the children go to first when there's a challenge, right? I see it that we had premature seeds, grooming premature seeds starting in the 80s. And then we had the drug scourge that divided the families more so than we had the feminization, when you had a single parent mother raising the children, male children, with not the willingness to put the child in the atmosphere where there were males, if there was one, a responsible male. It just, the tendencies that they inherited from, or the tendencies that they began to practice from the mother, are showing themselves now. So, I mean, we can acknowledge that. I'm just looking at what it is that we can do to bring about the turnaround and the change. And that's where we'll have to work together to observe what's the best way to get them to see and yearn that method that we grew up with. Because unless they have a willingness to practice it, all we can do is try to, you know, like force feed them with our, you know, with our stories about how it used to be and all that. And sometimes that might be effective, but I haven't seen it, a model that works consistently. I think it's important for us to recognize that we have to be attractive to them. We have to show them something that they're saying, yeah, I want to be like that. Yeah, I like how he conducts himself. I like how he takes care of his business. I like how he shows leadership. I like how he stands on his word. I like all of that. I want to be like that. And that's where we are now, I think, with the youth. We have to create a model that they want to emulate.
I agree with that, Brother Marvell. I agree that we have to have something that our kids want to aspire to that comes from the walk that we walk, the talk that we talk, right? Because there's so many people that have come into our youth life and they haven't stood their ground. They haven't really shown truth in their walk, right? Because they're putting the okie doke in the game. And so what I mean by that, there's a lot of men right now that are coaching our young folks. Let me just use this, that are coaching our young folks in sports. And I'll take football first because that's the one that we're, the season we just now ended, football. I went to a few practices of a few young men, and I'd be damned if I didn't see the coach smoking weed right there with the kids. I know that it's legal for recreational use, but for you to sit there and smoke around your kids and you're the coach and you want them to do what you say, they almost going to do what you do instead of what you say, because they're going to do what they see. And so I asked the brother about, you know, not doing that. And so with that being said, in the summertime, I took my son off of a team. I'm not calling no team out. And they called my wife because it's a relative of hers. And they was wondering, why did I take my son out? I paid the money for him to play. Why did I take him out? And so I told her, oh, they should have called me. I'm the one who took him out. And I called them and said, hey, man, I came out to that practice and I told the coach the first time I seen what I seen was weed smoking and they got beers out there. I said, I can't allow my son to be entertained by that behavior when he doesn't get that at home. And so he went on to talk to me about, well, he's going to talk to the staff and, you know, the people with the beer was parents of the kids. And he had a whole bunch of excuses about why I seen what I seen. And it's not just one time I seen it. It was the second time. The second time that I seen it was a back-to-back time. And I said, well, okay, this is how they get out. You know, I just told the coach yesterday I can't have my son around this. And I come back out, it's even more. So I decided to take my son out. What I'm saying and all that I'm saying is that our young folks will look at things that are sparkling and they'll attract to that and they'll want to aspire to that because that right there is sparkling and it's got their attention. And so what I want our male figures and our sisters that are in leadership with our young folks to know that your message should be sparkling so that they'll aspire to listen to it and react to it in a good way. What you say about that, brothers?
Brother Tim, let me carry on with this. First, you made a key statement. The organization did not call the man of the house. Just take that in and think about that for a second. The organization, the school, the coach, the team did not call the man of the house, which is you. They called your wife. This is what we're talking about. It's a misnomer to assume that the man of the house doesn't have a say in the household activities, but the woman does. And see, that's what I meant by feminization. It's not that trying to make a man into a feminine individual. It's that it's taking the power from. And we go all the way back with that issue when we go back to slavery. The three of us would be considered merely workers, and I won't go any further than that. The woman of the house was the one that the white man talked to, white woman talked to. They didn't talk to you and I, and that has carried on till today. And it's sad that a coach would make excuses and I won't go into about alcohol on the field of practice. I didn't grow up with something like that. I didn't have, when I played football, I didn't have that type of influence around me, but today we have it. Manhood is not as strong as it once was, and that's a shame. And that's where the problems are. That's simply where the problems are. There are pockets of black men of color, I should say, white men also, who are strong enough. Close on this issue with this. I am always glad to shake hands with another man. Now, understand what I mean. With another man, because there are so many males, as I said earlier, who don't measure up, who just don't measure up. They are the ones that walk around with their underwear showing consistently. That's not a man.
Hey,
men don't do that.
wear pajamas. Or wear pajamas all day.
Yeah, right. That see men don't
outside,
do that.
Outside.
Yeah.
Wear
men don't
to,
do that.
Wear them to the store. Right. Hey, Joe. We would also not just be the workers. If we were there, we would be considered uppity because we have something to say in being outspoken. We would be uppities, right?
Exactly. They'd have had a tree limb for us.
That's right. They would try to whoop us into submission or make an example out of us to cow and to bully the rest of our people, right? But there's a time when we can represent. You know, we can represent our voice and we can represent our spirit. We can represent our goal for our people now. We are at a time, unfortunately, that we can do that. We still have opposition. But we have a voice now that if we take the megaphone and make our announcements, hopefully people will gravitate to the message and start paying a little more attention to where we came from and where we are now.
Hey, so Marvell, we're gonna take a moment of for the station identification. Hey, don't you guys go anywhere. The talk and the subject is good. The number to call in is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. We ask that you share with a friend, a brother, or someone that's in concern of what's going on in our community and in this world. We'll be right back.
Hey, man, you got your fishing pole?
Got my fishing pole.
Yeah, man, we going fishing.
Man, I ain't going no fishing, man. I got this strap. These streets is hot.
Hey, man, you need to call Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence at 916-889-0105. Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. It's brought to you by Wise Words with One Gone Show, and we can work it out in. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence. It's taking the guns out of our kids' hands and putting a rod and reel in them. We are located at 2251 Florin Road in South Sacramento. That's Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. Join the crew and save a kid. You know how we do.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
Family
Skate Night.
Killing as one.
And it's all taking place at King's Skate Country in the city of Elk Grove, Thursday, November 30th, 2023.
From 6:30 to 8:30 p.m.
And in light of this special occasion, the keyword is free.
Free?
No way. Free. Everyone free. Free entry, free food, great music equals fun for you and the family. King Skate Country, 1404 Franklin Boulevard, Elk Grove, California. We'll see you there.
November 30th, right?
Right.
It's the Wise Words One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. We have our brothers from the Men's Healing Circle and brothers from the BBOA on here today. We are speaking about situations that are in our neighborhoods that could be worked out if we stood together and pushed the same movement going the same direction. What we find is that we have a lot of people that want to push, but they want to push a different direction. And so we have to have a like-mindedness in raising our young folks. Maybe we should think of this. It's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to disagree. We should agree to be able to disagree sometimes. That's how we learn. And so all I ask is that don't let a word or a situation harden your heart, stop you from doing the work to save our babies. I'm going back to the phone line. It is Brother Marvell, Brother Joe, and Brother Larry's in the building. Let me say what's up to Brother Larry right quick. Brother Larry, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
I can tell who that you are by your voice. Yeah, I got you, Larry.
All right, Marvell, how you guys doing?
Well, yeah, all right, man.
Good
to hear from you.
Yeah, I was listening about the smoking and stuff on the football team, and my grandson right now, he plays on the team, and it happens out there all the time. Now he's hooked on smoking. Now, I think that's a wrong thing to do for the kids. You know, other parents complain about it too, but, you know, some of the coaches, and also walking around with the pants sagging down. So they even copying that, the youth.
Wow. I mean, hearing that, man, it's shocking to me. I was a shock point of disbelief, Larry. I was thinking there might be an isolated incident or something, but I'm hearing that this is something that we can anticipate seeing in any given, like, practice. If somebody's firing it up, it's not unusual. That's shocking to me.
Yeah, if we're going to teach the kids something, we got to practice what we preach. I mean, we got to lead by example. You know, I want to be a leader, not a follower. And that's why I'm trying to instill my grandkids and my kids.
Lord have mercy. So the administration just kind of scoffs it off like, okay, well, we'll talk to them and see if they can go to their car and smoke rather than smoke out in the open. So the legalization of the marijuana recreationally has made it where you can do it in a recreational sport now, huh?
Correct.
So you know, football is like a recreational sport, so it's part of recreation, so we'll fire up. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but the kids are smarter. They got to understand that their smoke pretty soon is going to tear them down. You know, their lungs are going to get messed up, so they ain't going to be able to function right out there on the field and get hurt.
I mean, this got so many non-pluses to the practice that, like I said, it's shocking to me. Now it's like I feel like there should be a movement, a petition filed, like we talked the other day about how to get a movement started. It could be with a petition saying that not only get high behavior during these practices, but yeah, if y'all got y'all pants pulled down, y'all got to pull your pants up too. I mean, gosh, what the heck,
so,
man?
So watch this, Marvell. Marvell. So, like I was saying, when I talked to the president, it is related to my wife, and that's the reason we put our son on that team, is because he is a good coach. He is a good man, but those that's under him is not following his blueprint. So what I told him, I said, "Hey, brother, look, this is what I seen. This is why I pulled Caleb out. I didn't have your number, but I talked to the coach who is over that team, and you wasn't out there. I was looking for you." And he said, "Yeah, brother, I wasn't out there." I said, "So the second day I was out there, I might have got out there before you arrived. But after I seen it again, I had to pull my son, and that seemed to have gotten your attention by me doing an action. So, you know, sometimes when we use words, the words are not heard. So when you do action, action is seen, and you don't have to hear nothing. You can see it. And so I decided to put action instead of words by snatching my son, and then I took him to the high school where he's a freshman, and he ended up playing on that team. He had to wait a little while, but he was able to play, and he appreciated that. He appreciated that. Then my wife appreciated me. my wife appreciated me. She didn't argue the fact why I took him out. She was glad I took him out for the reason I took him out. We didn't have a debate about that. She understood what I did. She followed my movement. She didn't say, well, that's my cousin. We didn't do none of that. She followed suit. And then we talked about it, and she was like, I'm so glad that you pulled him because now there's kids that's out there smoking weed, and there's kids, parents that she know is saying, yeah, I should have pulled him out like Tim did your son, because my son, he over here with his friend smoking weed. This is a straight-A student that we're talking about that is not getting straight A's no more, is not listening to mama no more, and really depending on that weed right now. And he was a good football player. He's still a good football player, but his grades had failed. So they asked me to talk to him. So I went and talked to the youngster, and he admires me. He loves me for who I am. He sees who I am, and he recognizes who I am. And so once I had the conversation with the young man, stop talking back to his mom was the first thing I needed him to do. That's all he have in the house. This is the lady that's providing you with them Jordans you got on your $250 shoes you got. You got that iStation or whatever, that PlayStation. You got all the gadgets and the gadgets. And you disrespecting this lady? I said, see, what I should do, I should come over there and take all your stuff. That's how I got his attention. I should take all your stuff. He said, you can't take my stuff. I said, your mama gave me permission to do as please so I can get your attention. And if I have to take all that stuff to get your attention, even your phone, that's what I'm going to do. That right there shook his whole world up, y'all. Then he started communicating with me. He wasn't just listening to me. He was communicating with me on how we going to change the situation. And so that's what is needed. That's what is needed, y'all. We need to be able to speak into these youth lives. And not only that, the parents that ain't able to do that need to give you permission to do in front of their kids. Mm-hmm. So they know, mama ain't playing. Mama went and got Mr. Tim. And there's a lot of Mr. Tims out there. There's Mr. Joe. There's Mr. Mark. There's Mr. Larry. There's Mr. Marvell. There's a whole bunch of us that would be able to help where help is needed, not take over anything. That ain't my responsibility to go in and take over anything. My position is to assist, and I'm going to do just that. I'm going to assist, and I'm hoping that the parents gravitate to what they see me assisting in and the way I assist in and keep that model, like you said earlier, Marvell. Practice the model that you see. Don't let me do all the work. Practice what you see me doing. If you see that your son is understanding me by me telling him, if you do that, I need 10 push-ups, and he straighten up at home when he ain't emptying that garbage, give me 10 push-ups. See what I'm saying? Give me 10 push-ups or whatever may work for you. Whatever may work for you, that push-up worked for me. Let me tell you. Hey, we got Brother Mark on the line. We got Brother Larry. We got Brother Joe. We got Brother Marvell. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to open the phone line to everyone. Good morning, Brother Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
We good.
Peace and blessings to everyone and those that's listening. You know, I heard the conversation, and it's a deep one, and it's well needed. We have so many kids out here, and the main problem is there's no man around them. And
there
a woman can't do what a man could do. Their boys can't grow up with a man, at least in his life, sometime. See, there's too many men out here got kids but not playing that role. They think their kid's going to grow up on his own, but he's not. He's going to be a kid until some man get into his life and show him how to be a man. You know, and I'm speaking for myself. I grew up without my biological father. But there were other men that I could, you know, pattern my life off after. There was a lot of men I said I wanted to be like. But I was one of them hard-head kids, got hooked on marijuana at an early age, the age of 9, and nobody couldn't tell me nothing. But there's an old saying, you gonna mind somebody. So these kids got to understand, if they don't mind their parents, they're going to end up minding either their warden or
Big Bubba in there. And I don't think they want to mind Big Bubba because Big Bubba might want to do something strange. So it's very important that we reach kids. And those parents that don't know how to talk to their kids, just like Tim said earlier, reach out to us because they do need a role model in their life. And they need some attention. That's what they're begging for is attention. And it's hard for a mother to give a kid attention when she's got to rush off to work. And she come in from work, and it's time for her to go to bed so she get up the next morning. So it's hard for them to give the kids the proper attention that they need. And we have to understand it was set up like that. It was set up for them to fail because that's how they get paid. But these parents got to understand, stop babying these kids. Stop buying these kids all these different gadgets and gadgets, these $250 shoes.
Right.
Stop doing that. They don't need that. Let them learn how to earn it. That's where the respect come in. They'll learn to respect what they buy. Because if you give somebody something, they don't care that much about it. Because they know they tear it up, they'll get some more. Mama going to get it for me. My mama going to buy me an iPhone. My mama going to buy me that PlayStation 4. You can use that money for other things. Put that money towards his college institution. Tuition, I mean. You know, see, that's the thing. These parents are doing the wrong thing. Oh, I want my kids to be fly. Fly for what? So he can look like these thugs, look like these rappers and stuff? You training them up to be bad. So you got to tone him down. And the only way you're going to tone him down is stop dressing them up. You know, it's the old saying. They used to say, you can cover up a turd, but it's still going to stink. That smell going to seep out somewhere. So, you know, I mean, we got to stop it. The kid is just as bad as the rest of the kids. You get around, oh, my son ain't bad. He's just mischievous. No, that's a lie. He's bad. And he's going to continue to be bad and get worse if you don't curb it. We got to stop it, man, because we're losing our children. See, half these kids don't know nothing about these streets. They get out here and hang out with them. And it's always that innocent bystander that gets hurt or get killed. So we got to stop it. We got to stop it.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, gentlemen.
Brother Mark. Yes, go ahead, Marvell.
Listen, when we make that statement, we make it from a perspective of knowledge of what those attributes are, what those qualities are, and we're throwing that term around. I want everyone to give a word or a description of what makes a man so that we can get more detailed about what we're asking these kids to look forward to.
I'll start. A man to me, this is one gong. A man to me has a purpose. A man to me is respectful. A man to me is one that listens. A man to me is a doer, a provider. There's so many things I can say what a man mean to me. A man is someone who stands on principles of righteousness. A man to me is a God-fearing spirit that is led by the Most High to do the Most High's will. That is a man. Now, I could go on, but that is what a man is to me. I'm going to go down the line. Brother Joe.
Yes, sir.
What is a man to you?
One of the things that you didn't mention that I will, and that's honest. Being honest, one of the things that I grew up with is men that didn't have a dime, but they were honest about it. We don't have that type of influence any further. And I've been listening to what Brother Mark just got through saying, and once again, we go back to that old adage. Wait a minute. Who's the head of the household? That's where the problem is. That's where the major problem is.
Joe, let me intercede somebody's got something in the background that's making some noise, and we that's not a good feed for us. Somebody got something going on in their background. So, Tim, do they just mute it so that we don't hear it?
Yeah.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, they can mute their phone and still hear the show, and we won't hear their stuff. But I muted the two that I thought might be having that background. And go ahead, Joe. We can hear you now.
All right. I just listening, again, it go back to the household, because as Brother Mark just got through saying, the influence, it for many years was us. That shifted, and that shifted for this entire country. And that's where the problem is. And I said, the house. Who is head of the household? If Johnny comes home from school, who is head of the house? Who's making decisions at the house? Many of us are not at home. Many of us are not at home. And so I have to agree with Brother Mark, and I also have to agree with Brother Marvell. Many of the men who should be at home are not there. Information is a man-child receiving from mom. No disrespect to her, because without her, that child or me would not be on this earth. So, but when it comes to manhood and decision-making, we have to take our place back. We just have to take it back. There are not a lot of us who are willing to take back our rightful place, but there are a number of men who are standing in the shoes of a man. Honesty, as I mentioned a moment ago. I grew up with honesty from men, being honest. And that's missing. That's one of the main components is missing, and that goes all the way back to Brother Larry, who made the comment that he was about the smoking of the weed and the drinking of the alcohol. Brothers, look here. While they were making that comment, I was thinking about, quote unquote, the conservatives. They don't have that at football practice. You go to De La Salle, if you know about the California sports, go to De La Salle. I'm not just using De La Salle as a prime example. That does not exist. That does not exist either in the thinking or the action of that football program. Come to Sacramento, and guess where it's at? Here in our community. Where are the men to remove that? Where are the coaches to remove that? The type of coaches and men that we have now in our community are much weaker. And I would beg to differ. They're weaker than the five of us that are talking on this radio at this podcast. It goes back to the house. The house is where everything starts. The house should be where everything is learned.
So with that being said, I'm going to go to the next person. What is a man like Marvell Jackson? Brother Larry, to you, what is a man?
A man is one that provides, take care of his home and the kids, and make sure everybody's together. Not only take care of the kids, but take care of himself first. His health should be coming first.
I appreciate that. Brother Mark.
Well, what you all said was fine and good, but what builds up a man is abilities. You need accountability, responsibility, dependability. See, that's what builds up a man. Those are the first lessons that a child should learn, is how to be responsible. Clean up your room. Do these dishes. Give that kid some chores to do. If he's the only child in that house, then he must do everything. That teaches him some structure. Then he's got to be dependable to do those things. He'll be held accountable when he don't do those things. So those responsibilities and being accountability and being dependable, that's what builds a man. That builds morals. That gives him, that puts him in the correct direction, because it teaches him that he's got to do these things in order to receive these things. It teaches him how to work. Just like he get out in the world, he go to work to earn that check. He's got a job. He's got a performance he has to perform. And he has to complete that performance in order to get their pay at the end of the week, healing these kids. You can't just give them things to be giving it to them, because then they're going to expect that. And it's hard to retrain somebody once they're used to people giving them stuff. Because when people stop giving them stuff, now they got their mindset, I'm going to go out here and take it. I'm going to take it from somebody else. And that's going to land their butts in jail or get them beat up or killed. So that's what we got to teach these kids, how to be accountable for all their actions. Because for every action, there's a reaction.
So what I got out of you, Mark, for your definition of a man is ability. Responsibility,
yes.
Accountability, ability, right?
Yes.
Okay. So with that being said, the first hour is a wrap. We are going into our second hour. I want to thank our brothers on the panel for speaking out. Like I said, the number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. It's the Wise Words of One Gone Show. And we're talking about an open discussion, and the open discussion end up on what a man is and what a male is. Brother Joe said, we got a lot of males, but we don't got a lot of men. With that being said, it's time for a commercial.
The Wise Words with One Gone Show on blogtalkradio.com, featuring DJ One Gone. For requests, call 916-889-0105.
Hello.
8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time nightly. The Wise Words with One Gone Show.
A great big expression of happiness, boy, you couldn't miss. With a dozen roses, such would astound you. The joy of children laughing around you. These are the makings of you. It is true. The makings of you. The righteous way to go. Little one would know, or believe if I told them so. You're second to none. The love of all mankind should reflect some signs of these words I've tried to recite. They are close but not quite, almost impossible to do, reciting the makings of you. Righteous way to go. Little one would know, or believe if I told them so. You're second to none. The love of all mankind should reflect some sign of these words I've tried to recite. They are close but not quite, almost impossible to do, reciting the makings of you.
That's the sounds of Curtis Mayfield, The Making of You, right here on the Wise Words of One Gone Show. I'm going back to the phone line with all my friends and big brothers. Fellas,
hey.
I opened everybody's line up, and so I'm going to take a moment of, I have a call on that again, so can y'all go ahead?
Okay, I would like to add to some of the qualities that I think make a man, and one of the major qualities that I see is important to demonstrate manhood is for your word to be to mean something, to the point where when you say something, it has power. That you will represent what it is that you say you're going to do and that you'll stand behind it and create an atmosphere of trust around you so that when people see you, they can recognize you as someone who stands on what you believe or what you say. It helps your trustworthiness. It helps your believability. And it doesn't allow you to be looked upon like a willow that'll bend in the wind. So that's one of the qualities that I think, added to all the other qualities that were mentioned, rounds it out to make it so that you can distinguish a man and see him coming, because he has an aura of surety about himself, and he can be decisive and make that decision and stand behind it until otherwise proven. But nowadays, folks say they're going to do something, don't do it, don't call, see you again. Hey, man, what's up? What you mean, what's up? You forgot that you didn't do what you say you were going to do? And you want me to respect you now? And that's kind of like a general experience that I think, especially in California, it's not like that where I came from. I don't know, it might have changed, but it was not like that where I came from. If you give your word and say you're going to do something and you don't do it, you kind of get, like, scrutinized by the body. And if you do it again, you get ostracized from the body because nobody can trust you. So that's one of the things that I really think adds on, puts a cap on all the other qualities, is that you get known for saying what you mean, meaning what you say, stand behind your word like it's a code.
I appreciate that, Marvell. I really do. I'm going to open the phone line. The reason I closed a lot of you all's phone off and put you on mute is because there's a lot of background to distractions. And when we re-listen to the broadcast, we hear all that, and it distorts the message. So if I put you on mute, it's because you didn't put yourself on mute, and therefore we have to have this airway clear so we can hear the message, because you think you're talking, but that background distraction on radio, it picks up. Me and Marvell listened at a couple of sessions, and we said, yeah, if we can just get that out of there, the message would be a little plainer. So I'm going to open these phone lines back up. Brother Joe, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And so did you hear what Marvell just said?
Yes, I did.
And so do you agree with that?
Yes, I do, to a great extent. The one thing that I took away from what Marvell was is a man keeping his word. And that's where we have that's another area that's where we have a lot of problems. Know the value of a man's word, and we keep our word because we learn that. And I go back to what Brother Mark said, that those types of things are considered old-timey. And so they're not taught. They're not even discussed. And if you go to a home today, knock on the door, father doesn't answer the door. Mom answers the door. Or the kids answer the door. So Brother Mark, myself, Larry, and the brothers on the line, we have a limited aspect, and not despairingly, but a limited aspect to help re-influence our youth. Again, I keep marching back because of my experience, keep marching back to the house. When little Johnny gets out of school, when the night is time to go to sleep, that's done at the house. Well, nowadays, I'm not at the house. There are men beginning to go back to the house, but in great numbers, we are still not there. That's one of our major problems, is that the children that we help make on this earth, we're not there to help guide them and direct them because, and I used the word earlier, because of the feminization of this country. And I'll back off with this. One of the things that I find in contrast is that you can go, no matter what community you go to, no matter what section of the country, what section of the town you go to, these same problems exist. And a lot of men, even our counterparts, are making the same comments that we're making today about where is manhood? Where is it? We have it, but it seems that no one else has it. It seems that no one else wants to be honest. We are, because we know the value of honesty, but no one else wants to be honest. And that's what these kids are gravitating to. That, to go back to the influences. While Brother Marvell was talking, I was just running some pictures in my mind. Anytime that you see your rapper or your musician or whatever, I just use the rapper. The rapper, and he walking around with what I call fake gold around his neck and whatnot, those are chains of slavery. We don't look at it like that because it's painted gold, but those are chains of slavery. Rings on the finger, four or five diamond rings on the finger. That gaudiness is BS. But that's what our kids are gravitating to because there's not enough men showing, talking, and saying that's falsehood. That's a false illusion. That's an illusion. We don't have that. That's one of the things we need to get to. So I can't help but back the brothers up. It's come time. All I can say, it's come time. It's come time, and I'm glad that there's a group of brothers such as ourselves who have taken the time to do this type of work.
Man, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, and so I'm going to open Mark's phone line up. Mark?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you hear what Joe said?
Yes, sir. And
would you agree
I truly
with Joe,
I want to. Yes, I agree totally 100% with what Joe said. And I agree with what Marvell said. The problem is that we're living in a different time from what it was when we grew up. We had structure. We had men folk in the neighborhood. There's a lot of old men that didn't work. They sit on their porch all day. And they look down the street. And if they seen a kid coming down the street, they come here, boy, what you doing out of school? or if they see us doing something wrong. Come here, boy. You know you ain't supposed to be doing that. We don't do that now.
That's
and
right.
Like I say, the laws have a lot to do with it. They've taught these kids they don't have to fear their parents. If your parent do something, if their parent hits you, call us. But see, I was one of them parents that didn't give a poot about a law. I whooped my kids, and when they deserved a beating, I beat the hell out of them. Because certain things I just wasn't going to go for, just to curb certain things. And I let them know, if you want to do what you want to do, get out of my house. You can do it. They didn't want to do that. The kids today, they have too many outlets that will pamper them. And these schools is no help for a kid, really. They're not teaching them what the kids really need to know in order to live in this world. Or in order to be a functioning factor in this world. They're not teaching them that. They're teaching them how to be the opposite of what they are. If they're a boy, they teach them how to be a girl. If they're a girl, they teach them how to be a man. And they paved the way for it by allowing them to change clothes. See, we got, like I say, we got a lot of work to do. Before we attack our kids, which we should have been already instilling this in our kids from birth. These things you start at birth, teaching the kid how to act, what not to do. But these parents now, call him this, say this. Got these little kids cussing and stuff, listening to this rap music. Oh, listen, look at my baby. She know all the words, but she don't know her ABCs. So we have, that's why one of my sons, he home trains his daughter. And Javon is doing a great job. Those girls are smart. They're athletic. He takes them to gym class. See, like I said, we have to get back to basics. If somebody's not doing right, then it's up to us to do what's right. And we just have to take the time out to do it. And it's going to be tough. But we have to think about it. It's going to be tough on us right now to do what we need to do than later on. Because you'll just be working to pay off restitution for your child. So, like I said, we have to make some drastic changes. And we have to rebuild a community so we can take care of each other. Because no one could do it alone. No one could do it alone. These kids need a village. They need multiple people in their ear teaching them what's right and what's wrong. And so they will be held accountable. That teaches them morals. They let them know, I can't do this everywhere I go because somebody is watching me. My friends, they used to tell my sons, you Mark's kids, huh? And my kids say, Daddy, you know everybody, huh? I make it my business to know everybody. That's why I took you around everybody so everybody will know that y'all belong to me. If they see you doing something, let me know, and I'm on your helmet. And that's what we got to get back to. We got to be held accountable for our kids.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I believe in that. And so, Brother Larry?
Yes, I'm there.
Brother Larry? Okay. Well, Brother Larry, you heard what the discussion is, and I know you have a grandson over there up under your roof, right? And I think it's just you and him in that house. Am I correct?
Correct.
And so I know that you need a lot of help with raising him because what it is that he has sized you up. He has sized you up to the point where what you say almost don't work no more. It used to work. You can tell him to do this and he'd pop to it without even looking back at you. Without even giving you any other resistance. But now that he's, I think he's 14 now, right? 13, 14?
Yeah, he just turned 14 last week.
Okay, and so he's 14. And so I heard you say that he started smoking weed and he's doing a little bit at the school and, a couple of us brothers and came and talk to you and him in hopes that he sees that your health ain't all that good and you getting around ain't all that good. And so my message was to him is this is where you come in at, young man. You come in and you help your grandfather. It's just the two of you. If you do your part, and he do his part, this household would be at peace and you would be at peace. But you're not doing your part. So because you're not doing your part, we have these situations that pop up. And so I just wanted you to talk to the world about being a single parent in the home. You are the guardian. You are the grandfather of this young man, and how it's not easy to communicate. You know, just tell us. So because there's other grandfathers, there's other members of the family that are raising children, and they're not biological parents, and they're doing the best they can, but our young folks are not receiving that. And I want you to talk to them right now, because there's a few listeners that's listening that need to hear from someone that is going through the same thing they're going through, and they need to hear from your heart, Larry.
Yeah, well, it's hard through my situation when I'm going through, because not only that, me and my wife split it up because of the situation of the grandchild, because he started off with her, because I know he's not her biological grandchild. But then he turned to his peers at school. Well, I guess they talk, and so he comes home and wants to try it. So me, myself, I have never been to jail or anything. But he's getting too a little bit out of hand control. Like, he's thinking that, and I'm trying not to put my hand on him. I'm finna turn 65. And I don't want to put my hand on him. So, therefore, the only thing I can do is take his phone, laptop, everything from him. And that pisses him off. And so he threatens to run away and whatever. So I tell him, well, if you're going to run away, well, I can call them to give you a free ride, the police. But I don't want to put him in the system. But I have to do what I have to do, though. And like I said, it's hard until you can get some help. And I've got him in counseling and therapy right now. And that's happened some. And then I keep him in the sports. That's happened. Because right now he's on the All-Star. He's got good grades. And then he'll come down. But he also has to, you have to also check him out to make sure that he's doing constantly what he's supposed to be doing, because there's a sneakiness of smoking, and when he's at school away from me, you know, they want to be a class clown and act up at school and around his peers, and hanging out with Delta Shores and stuff is not good for a kid without a parent. You know, we got to constantly keep track of him, and that's what he don't like either. But until he can show me that he can be a respectful young man and do what he's supposed to do without me tell him, then I'll ease up the belt some. Because I'm not afraid of him, and that's what I let him know. Now, just like Brother Mark said, I beat the mess out of him. But I'm not trying to do that, because the society, even if he's wrong. So to all of those who going through sort of what I'm going through, hey, the Men's Healing Group is a good place to call to help out. We got some fine brothers in there. And I can't remember, I can't say all their names, because there's a lot of us willing to help and step in. Because these days now, it takes a village, like in the old days. It takes a village to raise a child. And that's what we all need to do. To you, Mungo.
I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate that. I'm going to open a phone line up. And so, brothers, y'all heard what he said. And I agree. I agree with what he said about, you know, being in their lives and telling them and directing our young folks and not giving them the steering wheel to drive themselves until they prove that they are responsible enough to hold that steering wheel and drive themselves in the right direction. And so I appreciate that, Larry, because I have a mother that's listening in right now, and she don't want to talk. She just wanted to listen, and she's seen the post on the Facebook, and that's why she's listening. So, again, to all of our people that's on the panel, we need to invite more parents and more friends to the show and let them know we're on every morning 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. The number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. With that being said, Brother Marvell, you've been going to schools, right? And, you know, I've seen you work with the youth that you've met and that you've built a relationship with. And you let them know when you start off, you say, my day is all right. When you run the wheel, you say, my day is all right, but it got better once I came in you all's presence. Can you tell me why you say that to the youth every time you get in front of them?
The reason, I mean, it's a heartfelt announcement, because when I get around people that I can identify my gift with and I can display my gift with, that enriches me. It makes me, the wholeness of my purpose kind of forms when I get there, because I'm certain that what I have to pour in is important to help somebody. Now, when you establish a relationship with these young people, because when I'm walking, now I'm walking to the room, and they're looking out the door, and I hear them say, he's coming, he's coming. So now they anticipate me coming and sharing and being a part of something that might help them grow. So that's, I guess I feel like a gardener. You know, the gardener might wake up and have aches and pains, have a cup of coffee, and not feel as good as they know they're going to feel until they get out in that garden and they start cutting those their dead leaves and planting seeds and nurturing their crop. Then everything falls away. All the woes and everything falls away. So that's why it's not something just say. It's something that I feel. I feel enriched and I feel encouraged that in this session, somebody's going to be touched. A seed is going to be planted or a seed is going to be watered.
Oh, man, I appreciate that, man. You know, I appreciate that because I sit and watch the magic happen, right? I see the creativity happen. I see where, you know, a lot of the young folks have never experienced such a spirit as yours. And when you come in, you look like any and everybody until you open your mouth, see. But what I do realize is that even with the ones that the school says the hard head, the one that ain't going to listen, the one that going to agitate everybody else and draw attention from to them, I've seen how the magic has worked, whereas when we leave the classroom, they say, are you coming back? Or while you're doing a presentation, they'll raise their hand and say, hey, are you going to be here for the whole year? Then the last thing I noticed, a couple of youth that are not even black, that are not African-American, that are not Negro or colored or whatever the term we use today, African-born Americans, any one of them terms, they're not of our culture, but yet they receive the message and acts at the end of, are you coming back? You say, yeah. And you go, good. We love you. Man, what? And these are not black kids that are saying that. And it's not just one, and it's just not a boy and not just a girl. I seen a young lady say the same thing that a young man said. And they weren't black kids, and they said, we love you. Am I correct?
Yeah, you are, man. That's the answer to the question.
Yeah, and so with that being said, that's what's needed. That's what's needed. See, when you can touch other cultures with the message that you have, that means that message could be packaged
and should be sold around the world, since it's all about money here in this world. You can sell that package, because we've had some dominant spirits in a setting of 30 kids, and one dominant spirit that everybody in that setting knows will act out, humble themselves up under the tutelage of the words that are being presented to them. And so what I'm saying is, words have a meaning, and the way you use words is important. And you always have to include our young folks. See, a lot of people want to talk at our young folks instead of talk with our young folks. A lot of us want to put our kids where they want them to be instead of catching them where they at and dealing with where they at and taking them to the next step. See, it's all about the presentation. It's all about the wording. And it's all about giving our young folks power, giving them power. Just because they're young don't mean that they don't need some power or good influence from us to give them motivation to be the best them that they can be. And so I've seen you put in that work. I've seen Brother Joe put in that work. I've seen where there was a pregnant young lady at a meeting. Brother Joe didn't know her or the baby's daddy. He pulled them to the side. He spoke into their lives, and he said, you know, this is what I know about fathers, young fathers, and I would like to help you move to the next level of being a young father. And so it's all about the presentation. And so if we can present the real to our young folks, be committed to keeping it real, and walking in that direction and don't look back, I think our kids would gravitate to that more than us telling them something, leaving them alone, and letting them work it out themselves. What do you say about that, Brother Joe?
Let me open that line up.
Hello?
Brother Joe? Yes, sir?
Okay. I've said it to you and Brother Marvell before, and I'll continue to say it. The best approach is the approach that you two are taking at this time, as you did yesterday, going to that classroom. Not only a captive audience, but the young minds. Excuse me. The young minds. What Brother Marvell brings is the spirit that these children are looking for. That's why they respond the way they respond. Are you coming back all year? I'm glad to see you. I can just imagine when you two walk into a classroom, regardless of the grade level, it's like a magnet in circle. And I'm pretty sure that has happened unbeknownst. Children are looking for something solid, and that is what we represent. There's not a lot of us, that's true, but the ones that are capable and able to go to the children are the ones that are understood the best. Those kids, any kid, let me say those kids, any kid wants to have something stronger than what he had. He may not have the ability to say something, may not have the ability to do something, someone stronger than themselves that they can depend on. They used to, and I say used to in that type of sense, they used to be able to look back in history and see that, yeah, the man of the house was the man of the house. Can't say that today. Cannot say that today, and so what does a male child have to gravitate to? If dad is not there to give that instruction, well, Marvell, to give that kind of knowledge, to give the example of what, as we were talking to the father yesterday, to give an example of when tough times come, this is what tough people do. Fathers are not there to show that. They're not in the classroom. So the classroom is the best avenue of approach, especially at this time. because of the outside influences. That's why these kids gravitate, because it is way above the norm. The norm is to put the beat on and jump around for a couple of hours. They want something different, but they don't know how to express that. And so when you two come to the classroom, you bring spirituality, number one. You bring fatherly knowledge, number two. You bring a vast amount of things besides the information. They're not really listening to the information because they're too young. But what they're gravitating is your spirit. Your spirit is the one that actually, both of you, the spirit is the one that actually had these children just sitting there almost mesmerized. Almost mesmerized. And after being in the juvenile system for 30 years, I know because I've experienced it. You brothers keep doing what you're doing with that classroom because that's the key. That's one of the keys. That's one of the keys, one of the major keys. And I'm glad to hear that you guys are about to graduate and go on. That's good. That's good because the brothers who are the youngsters who are locked up need it even more. Yes, they do.
Well, hey, girls, Joe. Listen, I was just thinking. I did a commercial the other day, more or less, appealing to those who may have the time and the wherewithal. Like, for instance, a lot of us are successful in this society, successful enough to be able to have time to invest in what we did yesterday. We have the time. We have the willingness and we have the time to do what we did. So my appeal right now, because you said about it's not that many of us, right? It's not that many of us that are hands-on doing what we can do, what we do, but there are a lot of us who have the time and the wherewithal to pour in and find out what it is that they can do. So my appeal right now is to those who are successful people with the ability to share time, and those who are retirees who are looking for an opportunity to pour into the youth situation or pour into our community situation or pour into our culture situation, call in and let us have a discussion about where you fit. Call in. Because there are a lot of people who have that time, willingness, and wherewithal, but they may not know what to do with it and how they can have an impact. Call in so we can have that discussion about where you fit in and how you can help impact what's going on with our communities and our society. That's my commercial.
I'm only laughing because I'll be the first to tell you that I'd be more than glad to step forward. Again,
well, we're talking about those others who might be seeking an opportunity to express themselves. Call in and let's tie this knot up.
Well, now, Brother Marvell, let me say this and I'll be quiet. Let a team of us, Brother Connolly, John Connolly, myself and a few others, go straight to the pulpit and make this request. The men of the church better stand forward. That's one of the things I've been saying. Where is the church? So let us take this same conversation in a smaller amount to the pulpit and ask for the men of the church to come walk with us.
Wow, that's a good proposition. I like that.
That's why I said it.
Yeah. Let's get boots to the ground like you say all the time.
All the time, because where else? Were you at North Highlands with us? Did you go to North Highlands?
Me?
Yeah. You were there when it started to rain. Where were those children?
Yeah.
Where were those children? Rain or shine, where were those children? And see, that's
somebody,
that's the key
somebody,
right
Joe,
there.
Joe, somebody still, that sound is still kicking in from somewhere in the background.
Oh, okay, I don't know where or how, at least with myself. I'm standing outside, so.
Yeah, well, somebody got something like they
stole
the wood or something.
I did hear it. But again, I'll stop with this. We were at North Highland, and it was raining. Those children were there. We couldn't go very far because of the rain, but the kids were there.
Mm-hmm.
The kids were there. Yes, they were. So, again, let us take this message and approach others. And a good place to start, I believe, is going straight to the church. And approaching the men's committees or the congregations.
That's a good suggestion. I appreciate that.
I do. All right. My brothers, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. I would say that in all honesty because, again, we don't give each other enough thanks for being with each other. It's assumed because of the circumstances that we live in that we are. And as you say, and as which is on the line, Brother Mark, Brother Larry, Brother Marvell, Brother Tim, myself, we are individuals who have knowledge, experience, and care. And that's why we do what we do.
And yes, willing to make the time. Yeah. And willing to make the time to do so. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just got back in. But I see that we recognize that we're thankful. And I'm thankful for the brothers that are on this call and in my life, you know. That's where we have dropped the ball, like Joe said. I just caught Joe at the end of what he was saying. And, yeah. There's not enough appreciation, so one would feel alone when he does work, and don't his counterparts and his brethren don't recognize and appreciate and tell them that. You know, they have a saying, brothers, that give them their flowers while they're still here, right? Give them their flowers while they're still here. And not that one looks for recognition or one that keeps saying thank you and we appreciate you. It's not. It's just a help because of the situations that we find ourselves in. There's a lot of tough situations that we work throughout daily, right? I just got a call from a parent right now. The youth is in juvenile hall, want me to go out right now and visit. And I said, well, does he have a probation officer? Can you give me the probation officer's number? And she said, no, this is his first offense. Okay, well, I can't go out there unless he's already got a probation officer that can clear me. I have to give my name, my birthday, and everything to get cleared to be able to go see that youth. And she didn't understand that. She was like, well, what I need to do, what you need to do is keep me informed to his court date, and I can show up there and introduce myself to the judge if you allow that, and therefore – the judge could place me in side to talk to your youngster as a visitor. The judge has that much power to do so. And she said, well, he doesn't go. I don't know when he goes to court. I said, yeah, just keep me aware of that. What I'm saying and all that I'm saying is that there's so much going on out here that everybody's looking for someone to help in their situations. But this is the thing, fellas. There's a thing called prevention. If we can use the prevention, if we could use the prevention measures before we have to do the intervention, then things would you know, kind of work out for the best interest. But you're waiting. You see JJ is doing the stupid doodle-dumb, but you're saying that's cute until JJ hurt somebody, steal something, get caught up, and now you won't help reeling JJ back in to where you let him drift off to. And so what I'm asking the panel today is each one reach one to teach one, as was spoken many years ago. Each one reach one to teach one. If we can just grab one, we have done our service. If we can grab more, it's okay, but we have to start somewhere. And so I was asking a parent a couple of days ago, why doesn't he help with his nephew? He said that's not his responsibility. And I almost tore out my skin. He's your nephew and he ain't your responsibility? And we use the phrase, it takes a village to raise? Come on now. And so when we got that type of idea and that kind of thought as the front of everything that we do, he's not my responsibility, or they're not my responsibility. We have a responsibility as a people to help build our young folks to be better at who they are so they can become the best image of themselves. What do you say about that, brothers? Who got something to say?
I agree with you on that one. But I wanted to piggyback on what Brother Joe had said. We need to reach out to these pastors. But see, here's the thing. They should be out there already. See, you got to understand something. Everybody is after a dollar. They don't care about these kids. They can care nothing about them. All they want is money, money, money. Everybody want a bag. So until we can change people's minds about chasing the bags and think about our future, because that bag ain't going to mean nothing, because the same kids that you're neglecting is going to be the one to take that bag from you. So it's important that not only do we reach these kids, we got to reach these adults. Like when we went out there to that to those apartments, we need to set up something so we can reach these young men out there selling drugs. Talk to them about it. Let them know the dangers of it, because a lot of them don't know. They think they can get away with it and get away with it till they don't get away with it. And then once they get in there, they're only going to teach them how to do it better so they don't get caught the next time as fast. But like I say, we're losing all the way around. So as we reach these kids, we got to reach these young men that's around these kids and let them know, look, if you're going to do what you're going to do, fine and dandy. But these kids are around, you got to change something. Don't do it in front of the kids. Go off somewhere. They taking over apartment complexes. They taking over everything. And them same young men that's on the street selling dope, they in the churches trying to get them women. See? And they in the schools trying to get them teachers. So, like I say, we got to curve this. Even the coaches got to step up their game. Teach these kids, if you're not doing right at home, you're not getting good grades, you don't play football. You sit the bench. I don't care how good you
now.
Are. But no, they want that star player on that team. See, things got to change. Like I say, it comes back to morals. You got to have accountability, dependability, and respectability. If you don't have none of those, you can't do none of this. And I'm done.
Sounds good. I appreciate that. We had a lot of background fumbling, and so I have to mute y'all for a minute. And so I appreciate that, fellas. We're going to knock this one out. It's almost time to go, so I'm going to do this for my uncle, man. I told him I'd play a song for him today. He ain't doing too good. And once again, Miss Jacobs lost her husband, Mr. Melvin Jacobs, yesterday at 4:15, and so we're praying for the Jacobs family. This one's for y'all, man. This one's for y'all. Much longer.
getting deep. All the hurt keep getting stronger. But if I had just one more try, I would be ever alone until the day I die. And we would have a love so divine. If I could turn back the hands of time. Without it, I can't go on. But for you're the other half, that makes my life complete. If I had one more chance, we'd have a love so sweet. And leaving would be the last thing on my mind. If I could turn back the hand of time.
That's the sound of Tyrone Davis, If I Could Turn Back the Hands of Time. I gave that down to Don Poole Sr. Told him I'd play that for him today. Hey, so we're going to recap, and we're going to get out of here. We have 7 minutes, and I'm going to go down the line. Brother Marvell, you have any final words for our listeners?
I just want to reiterate the appeal to those who have the time and the willingness to call into this station, and let's discuss what it is that we can do to collectively look seriously and address what's going on around us. Because it's a lot of stuff. I know it's a lot of people in our age group, in our mature age group, that scratch our heads about what we see. There is a solution to what we see if we can collectively get on the same page and carry the message and just ask the questions. Like, you know, we can ask them, what is the benefit? Help me understand what the benefit of your pants hanging off. Just help me understand. I want to be for you. I just don't understand what the benefit is. If you can give me the benefit, I'll support you. And there's a whole lot of behaviors that they're demonstrating that if we are on the same accord, we can ask those questions, and everybody's doing the same thing, asking the same question and having the same curiosity, having the same interest about what is going on and how we could make our adjustment if we have to. But call in. Call in if you have the willingness, you have the wherewithal, and you want to spend your time well, spend it with us.
Thank you. Brother Joe.
I would also say virtually the same thing, but as I was listening, I was thinking about just exactly, Brother Mark, I think that time for brothers like ourselves to head to the pulpit and make our request for the men. In other words, I'll make you fishers of men. I know everybody here remembers that. I think it's time for us to make that step. I think that there are a lot of men who need a little encouragement, and I believe that we would be able to at least light that fire. I'm willing to step forward at any time because that's what's needed. That's what's needed, and I surely appreciate the brothers that I'm speaking with on the line and the members of both the Healing Circle and the BBOA. I thank God for you. Thank God for ourselves. Thank you.
Ashe. And Brother Larry. Brother Larry?
I feel that. Yeah, I'm here. I feel that we all should just come together, and people should call in to give the men healing a chance to help them out with their situation, because a lot of it works. Like I said, it takes a village, and together we can make things happen.
Ashe.
Brother Mark.
I agree with everything that's said. And like I said before, we got our work cut out for us. We just need the help of everybody else. People just can't stand around and look and complain. We got to get out here and do something. And like I said, it's going to take all of us together collectively. I'm muted.
All right. All right. That was the first time Mark ever been short-winded. I ain't know when to come on or go out, y'all. Hey, anyway. I love every one of you brothers, man, for coming on, man. See y'all at the Healing Circle tonight. But I want to ask Brother Mark and Brother Joe a question. So I'm going to turn y'all's mic back on. So I heard Mark say,
I heard Mark say that y'all went out.
We got some back. So I think that's Joe. Let me take Joe out. Okay. So I heard you went out to North Highlands. I want to know how that went for you. And then I want to know, when are you going back out there? Because what me and Mr. Marvell found out is that a one-time show is not going to work. When we go to a school, a one-time show is not working for us. So we have asked, you know, let us continue. We need more days. We need more than one day with them youth in the week. But we get just one day and 1 hour in that day to deliver a message, right? And so my thing to you, Brother Mark, I heard you say, you went out to North Highlands and the young men were still doing what they were doing, but did you go back out there the next week? Did you go back out there the week after that? Did you go back out there the week after that? Did you go back out there at all? That's my question.
What it is, it's on the table right now. We're planning a return visit out there. Like I said, last time we went out there, it rained, and we were unprepared. We didn't have canopies. We didn't have a microphone, you know, a big speaker or anything. So next time we go out there, we're going to be prepared to have everything that we need so that we can do things with these kids and plus try to provide something for these adults. Because we got to get them, they got to interact with us, because it's not going to do any good if we just come out and talk to them. It's just like when the police come around, everybody hide their dope. But if we come out there and we interact with these parents, get them on board, now these guys ain't got, you know, they got to continue to hide. Now they don't sneak to do nothing. They just do whatever they want out in the open. They ain't ashamed. They don't have no respect. They're not accountable for anything. Nobody's holding them accountable.
Okay, Mark.
So we got to hold them accountable.
Hold on, Mark. Hold on. I just asked you a question. We about to go off. I asked you a question. You didn't went to preaching again. I asked you a yes or no question, and you answered it. You said
you're
getting things together to go back out, right?
Yes, we're going out there. Okay. We're going to hit up other communities as well.
And so this is my suggestion. It's only a suggestion. You don't have to go to all the communities when you ain't touching one community. That doesn't make any sense to me, but that's just my opinion. If you're in the North Highlands area and you're giving the North Highlands youth your attention, I think that if you stay giving them your attention, you'll find that the work will be a little more easy, and you'll find that the people that you're servicing will commit to what you're doing because you commit to doing it. And so If you think you're going to hit this one this week and another one the next week and another one the following week, you're not being committed to doing the work where you're called to be. And so that's only my suggestion. Make sure take care.
I understand what you're saying. I understand.
All right. With that being said, hey, it is the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and I'm going to leave you with this. What is value?